Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson broadcasting from a basement deep in the woods of the eastern plains of Colorado, a safe distance from the demise of Western civilization. Father of five. We homeschool our children out here on the eastern plains. So is Dave Buhner, also in studio with me. He's made his way over here this morning, a couple of 20 minutes on dirt roads. And Dave, you know, a lot of funny things happening in the news these days. This comes from Portland, which, by the way, Portland is one of the most disgusting cities, I think, in the country. It may be number two, but it is one seriously messed up city.
What's number one? What's number one?
Maybe San Francisco.
Maybe San Francisco.
The mayor has problems with little boys, and
that's disgusting.
Yeah, it's really disgusting. And yeah, I think he's still the mayor there. They're real happy with him down there. They're also declared to be a green town. And just this morning, I got this off the news: a Portland man burned himself to death for animal rights. So he was out in front of a fur store. Apparently, a lot of the fur haters were out in front of this Portland store for a number of years, very, very upset that the animals had to give their lives to for the sake of men clothing themselves and getting binned in and so forth. But so this guy burned himself to death. I guess he doused himself with gasoline or something and just lit the match.
I'm confused.
He burned himself with animals.
Isn't he like an animal?
Well,
and if so, why would he want to burn animals?
And this is what's confusing. Either he burned himself because he wanted to save the animals, or he burned himself because he realized he was nothing more than an animal. And while you're talking about that, maybe I'm not any more valuable than a piece of cosmic dust. And if just a piece of cosmic dust, then why not just light the match? See, again, folks, if we are not created a little lower than angels, endowed with glory and honor, if God doesn't exist, okay, which is the basic presupposition, these animal rights people, if God doesn't define our values and God doesn't define our ethics, then you might as well light the match and torch yourself because you're nothing but cosmic dust. Did he light the match? And this Portland guy light the match because he was no better than an animal or no better than a piece of cosmic dust in the universe of pure chance. Folks, his metaphysics is messed up, big time messed up. Because he's been attending schools where God's a non-factor, God's not a creator of us, and we are not established in terms of our value as the image of God, the creation of God, and endowed by our creator with that value. If God doesn't define our value, and God doesn't place us a little lower than the angels, endow us with glory and honor and place all things under our feet, that is all fish of the sea, all the animals, etc., etc., etc. If God doesn't do this, and just read Psalm 8, if you're curious what my worldview is concerning the value of man and who I am in this universe, if that's not our value, then nothing but cosmic dust, guys, nothing but cosmic dust. It's one or the other. Either you're just a polytheist. Either you're just somebody who is trying to define his own value in a universe of pure and absolute chance, or there is a God who is over all and defines our values. I'm sorry, those are the only two options. And apparently this guy concluded he is a piece of cosmic dust. And a really sad story, Dave. There's a picture here of the guy's shoe. I mean, he burned himself up, and he got his shoe left. What a sad story. He did that for the animals, but I think he did it because he's just cosmic dust. That's all he is. That's all he is in his worldview. Now, if he had spoken to me before he lit the match, I would have told him, you're not cosmic dust. And I'll tell you what your value is in this universe. But we didn't have that conversation.
Well, it seems to me if he thought he was cosmic dust, maybe he should have covered himself with Pledge or something. Instead of lighting himself on fire.
Yeah. Would have been less painful.
Well, yeah. And it would have brought that nice sparkle to the top.
Yeah. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to address another really important story in just a moment. Tim Tebow is a Heisman Trophy winner, and his mother had the opportunity to abort him, didn't do it. What was it, 23 years ago? And now there's a Super Bowl ad that Focus on the Family is sponsoring. And, wow, women's groups can't stand the fact that Tim Tebow made it out of the womb alive. Should have aborted him. Should have aborted him. The women's groups are really hot on this one. Be back in just a moment. This is Kevin Swanson. Folks, we are in the middle of the greatest recession since World War II. Unemployment continues to rise after 22 months of recession. Will the national bailouts and the massive redistribution of the wealth into irresponsible banks really help the situation? Will John Maynard Keynes' fractional reserve indebted system work out in the long run? I mean, he didn't think it was going to work in the long run. If you're a Christian father and mother, and you care about the future of your children and grandchildren, I'm telling you, it's time to work on Plan B. That's why we're doing a Family Economics Conference coming up here on March 5th and 6th, 2010. This will be a hands-on practical conference bringing biblical perspectives to bear in every area of family economics. We're talking work. We're talking family entrepreneurism, debt-free living, contractual employment, inheritance, being a faithful employee, taking care of aging parents, living without Social Security, which, by the way, will happen, saving and investments, retirement, family charity, education, mentorship, taxation, health care decisions, seeking employment, raising dominion-minded daughters. We have found the best speakers in America who have studied and written on biblical family economics. It's time to work on Plan B, my friends. If you have a family and you are living in the American economy today, you need to check out this Family Economics Conference on March 5th and 6th, 2010. Check it out at kevinswanson.com. That's kevinswanson.com. Check it out now.
Back on the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson with you, homeschooling our children out in the eastern plains of Colorado. And Tim Tebow has been in the news a number of times. He is the Heisman Trophy winner of, what, a year or two ago, and a tremendous, tremendous quarterback, and has done some great stuff in college football. But Tim Tebow is two things. Number one, he's pro-life. Number two, he's a homeschooler. And that's I think, given us some positive press and some pretty decent image for the homeschooling movement. But more relevant to what's happening right now, Tim Tebow is pro-life. I think he's been pro-life for 23 years, Dave.
Pretty much his whole life.
Yeah.
He's pretty much pro-Tim's life.
He is. He wants to stay alive, as opposed to the other guy who's cosmic dust burned himself up in Portland a day or two ago. Well, anyway, Tim Tebow is a young man whose mother was pregnant 23 years ago. She had some kind of a disease, and doctors were encouraging her to abort Tim. And they said, you're probably not going to survive the birth. And she stood up and said, not going to happen. We're not going to abort this child. I'm going to have this child. And she did. And, of course, the rest is history. Tim Tebow turns out to be one of the best football players probably in the history of college football. So now we have this ad that plays on the Super Bowl, and women's groups are up in arms against this. Joy Behar from The View has said abortion would have been an appropriate choice for Tim, since there was no way for Tim's mom to know that he wouldn't grow up to be a rapist pedophile. Well, Joy, so what's wrong with being a rapist pedophile? According to your ethical construct, it's curious. You know, I mean, after all, there is no God, and you're just a piece of cosmic dust, and God doesn't establish your ethics. So, and you're not made in the image of God, and so, what's wrong with a rapist pedophile? In fact, you know what? I mean, I think the same argument could be raised against Joy. I mean, you know, maybe Joy's mom should have aborted her because she might have wound up writing editorials like this. Well, there's a reason for abortion. These people have no rationality.
No, you don't have to be rational to be a liberal. The same arguments could be said for Barack Obama. His mother was under duress. She was single. She was abandoned. She was traveling.
And he might have grown up and become a president of the United States and ruined the freedoms and brought Marxism to a country. I mean, you know, I mean, that could have happened. So maybe she should have aborted him. I mean, again, using the same rationale here.
It's even worse for Joy, because Tim Tebow grew up to be a Christian who supports life. In fact, I have a picture of him right here, and you know how they sometimes put things under their eyes? Only on this side it says Ephesians, and on this side it says 2:8. 2:8, by grace you have been saved.
Right, right.
So, you know, here he is making a witness on public TV. This is the worst of all possible worlds. I suppose, you know, if he had grown up and become an abortion killer, like Killer the Tiller, a doctor who kills life, that would have been all right with Joy. So, apparently, Joy doesn't want to take the risk that people might grow up and love God.
No.
That's bad.
That would be bad.
Yeah.
Or they might have grown up and come to the conclusion that life was worthwhile and murder was wrong, and it's really wrong to become a rapist pedophile. That would be a bad thing. You know, you might actually wind up with
a biblical ethic, the idea that there is an absolute God, and absolute ethics is only possible where there is a God of absolutes. So, folks, it's a worldview issue, and it's amazing these feminist groups are up in arms with this Super Bowl ad. And Dave, I have to say that putting an ad like this on the Super Bowl CBS broadcast is a significant move on the part of Focus on the Family. And they're going to reach even more people than we reach on our radio broadcast.
Oh, they will, because they're walking into the greatest cathedral of modern idolatry.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
you can make an argument the government is, yeah, but more people, yeah, will probably watch the Super Bowl than watched Barack Obama's State of Obama speech.
Yeah.
And so that is where people go to worship on Sundays in the fall in America, and this is the biggest of the big. This is the event, and of course people like to watch the commercials almost as much as the program, so they will actually get a message to more people. Now, how effective it is, I don't know, but they will reach more people with this message than probably anything they could have done.
Yeah, and of course this blows our budget for the year, $2 million. That's a lot of money for a 30-second ad. $2 million, friends, to get that ad on. And, of course, they want to affect public policy. They want to affect national opinion concerning abortion, concerning the right to life, and the preciousness of human life. As long as media is as centralized as it is, you're going to need to collect that kind of money if you are going to have an impact on the national opinion concerning issues like abortion.
Now, Kevin, you say you don't think we could ever do that. I think you should sweep that up the table right away. Maybe we have an ad where we see Sodom and Gomorrah being pillaged by hellfire and brimstone, and in just simple words,
I'm
say,
liking this.
Fear
I'm,
God.
I'm liking this. Yeah, okay.
Fear
this
God.
Really good.
You know, just,
okay,
you know,
yeah,
something like that, perhaps.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah. And then America repent at the end. That would be great. Yeah, that would be great. Well, Dave, I want to keep on this subject of Tim Tebow and his Heisman Trophy win and his impact on a nation. Dave, it's interesting that you have a football player that seems to be impacting a nation at this point. I mean, this guy was homeschooled. He's pro-life. He's a lot like us, I think, in his worldview. Yet he is a football player. And there are a lot of people, I think, somewhat bothered by the fact that you have football players and, you know, sometimes you have beauty contestants that are out there really putting a face on the Christian faith and trying to establish some kind of a standard for morality in a day where morality has certainly been degraded in this country. And Dave, you know, you've got to admit there's something impressive about a young man honoring his mother on a national spot in front of 100 million viewers for this Super Bowl ad. I think that's an added element to this thing that we've got to be impressed with. I mean, obviously, they're celebrating life. That's great. There's not a lot of that going on national television. So there's going to be 100 million people celebrating life and watching a young man honor his mother for taking him to term and sacrificing her life in order that he might live. And this is a testimony that's going to, I think, rock the network, CBS, if they decide to air it.
Well, not only did she give him birth when the doctors were telling her not to, she homeschooled him.
No.
Which means she invested into him.
That's
so
right.
Here we have a man who's honoring God, who's honoring God's institution, a family, who's honoring his mother. I'm thrilled that this, yeah, is going on. Now, you know, is it going to compete with the McDonald's ad? I don't know. More people are talking about this right now than whatever the Miller Lite beer ad is.
And Dave, any angle you look at, I think this is a wonderful Christian family, and they have a Christian testimony. And Tim is not afraid to you know, bring out Bible verses everywhere he goes. I think when I hear him speak, he always gives honor to God and gives the glory to God for what God has done in his own life. And this is impressive. This is a wonderful thing. And hey, you know what? We're never going to take $2.8 million and sponsor a 30-second Super Bowl ad ourselves. Focus on the Family has done that to their credit, and we appreciate what they're doing. But something that just we have not found it in our budget this year to do this.
Well, we haven't found it this year. You said never. I mean,
this year, yeah. Right, sure.
If you'd like to donate $2.8 million, you know, we can put something together.
Sure. Generationswithvision.com.
Yeah.
$2.8 million.
We can have like a brimstone and a hail and fire coming down on the city Sodom and Gomorrah. We're going to see it burning up, and then we have like fear God.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So worship God in your chemistry classroom this Monday.
So if that's something you would like to sponsor, you know, go ahead and write the check to Generations with Vision, about $2.8 million or so.
We do it. You know, Dave, you wonder if the $2.8 million is well spent. I mean, whether you're going to change public policy with this. Now, again, I'm happy anytime the Word of God is proclaimed. And anytime somebody stands up and says, hey, it's wrong to abort, repent. I'm not sure the word repent is used in this ad, but if it was, that would be, I think, bonus. But anytime you get the Word of God out in front of the public, I'm in favor of that. I think in terms of influencing public policy, though, what you see in history, what you see in Scripture certainly are the examples of Esther, people who do influence public policy, but mainly by working through leaders. Public policy or public opinion itself tends to be fickle when people change their opinion. They watch the 30-second ad, they say, boy, that's a nice ad. I feel pro-life for the next 10 minutes. And then, you know, a year later, they're aborting their next kid. So, you know, that's the way public opinion works.
Now, that just assumes that the metric we're going to use to measure the success of this ad is, does it sway public opinion?
Yeah.
But that's the same kind of metric that might be used if Mary Magdalene is buying expensive perfume for our Lord. You know, we could have spent that on the poor. We could have spent that on Haiti. We could have done other things with it. The fact is, the real metric is, does it honor God and give him glory? And I think that's how we have to look at it. Is God going to be glorified during this Super Bowl? Now, I think there's reasons to say he could be, and there's reasons to say that he wouldn't be.
You've seen the big billboard, let's meet at my house Sunday before the game. God. That kind of stuff bugs me, though. Does it bug you?
Oh, yeah.
The big billboard. God's going to say, you know, I realize the game is more important in your life than me, but can you drop in and say hi? That's American Christianity if you've ever seen it before.
And what really bothers me is that the people who go to that church, their mind will be on the game, and they'll sing the hymns or the songs, whatever they do in that congregation, and they'll be dead. But when they watch on their big screen TV, they're going to be, yeah! Whoa! Woo! Woo! Yeah! Amen.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Dave goes crazy on the show today. But what you're pointing out, Dave, is that football and sports is the national idol. And this is, I think, something that bothers a lot of people that watch the Tim Tebow's and his football career. They think, okay, here's a guy who's contributing to really the idolatry that is celebrated everywhere. I mean, there's a lot of the men in America are much, much more likely to worship their idols running around tossing spherical objects through the air than they are worshiping the true and living God who created the universe and stopped the Red Sea with his bare hands and allowed God's people to pass, and then Pharaoh's armies destroyed there at the Red Sea. I mean, that's pretty impressive. That's even more impressive than somebody kicking a 67-yard field goal. But people don't see God as all that impressive. They're much, much more likely to worship at the games. And of course, they've always done this. Empires tend to produce heroes and idols out of men who are doing these things in athletic competitions. They've been doing that since the Greek and Roman days, and they still do it today. Let me help out the perspective here a little bit. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing sinful about playing ball. We play football occasionally. We'll play baseball, and we enjoy that kind of thing. But there's nothing, you know, malum in se. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing evil. There's nothing sinful about playing games. But here's the problem.
Even soccer?
Here's the problem. Even soccer. I'll throw that in
even
there for you.
It's kind of a European thing.
But 98% of Americans, let's say, 98% of Americans turn sports into idolatry. And it may not be 98%, maybe 92%. Let's say for sake of argument that 98% of Americans are turning football into idolatry. Well, you could have had a statue maker in Corinth in AD 40 who was a Christian making statues. Nothing wrong with statues. People have statues all over the place. You know, you sculpt these things and you have those sculptures of I don't know, maybe praying hands, or you maybe have a little sculpture of a fat little baby, precious moment.
Garden gnome?
Whatever. Garden gnome. Okay, you got these statues. This guy's making these statues. Now, it turns out that 98% of the Corinthians worship the things that he makes. Now, does that make it wrong for this guy to make statues in Corinth in AD 40? That's the same kind of argument I think we can place towards, say, a Tim Tebow who gets involved in the national idolatry, the sports system that is just huge in the estimation of most Americans, and he contributes somewhat maybe to that idolatry, but I think the guy is standing up. He's putting Bible verses on his statues. I mean, you know, he's kind of, you know, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, any likeness of anything that's in heaven above. And he's got that little Exodus 20 thing stamped on the back of his little folding hands statue, little Precious Moments dolls that he's sculpting. And you know, I think it's possible for a guy to be involved in making certain things and not contribute to the idolatry of it. That is my point. And so I don't think it's wrong. I don't think it's malamint say for Tim DeVoe to be out there playing ball. That's my argument. What do you think?
I don't think there's anything wrong with Tim playing ball.
No, is there anything wrong with my argument?
No. Well, there might be. There might be. I'm okay. Still not sure about the whole garden gnomes not being Solomon say. I mean, garden gnomes are pretty weird.
They're
pretty strange. You know, part of the problem that we have with American football is that the professionals play on the Lord's Day on Sunday.
That's a problem. That's a problem. But as long as you stop at my house on the way to the game, you think God's a-okay with all that? That's what the billboard said.
Well, I'd like to leave it to be the Lord's Day, not the Broncos Day or the Packers Day or whatever. So that's a problem, number one. If it played on Saturday, I wouldn't have that issue. Now, Tim Tebow's a college football player. It's not his profession, although he gets paid lucratively in terms of free tuition and books and so forth, and it will pay for him in other ways. But my other problem that I have with sports is it's not life. Now, I was big into sports, you know, and sports is a kind of fake battle. We sit there and we play football because we're not allowed to sword fight with real swords, kind of thing. And as long as we're distracted by the games, the war games, we'll never engage the war. And that's one of my larger problems. I think the problem most people have with Tim, though, is that as the idol, as the gladiator, he's not supposed to be a righteous man. They want their heroes to be every bit as wicked as they are, maybe just a wee bit more wicked. We love it when the Tiger Woods of the world are fallen creatures. Mm-hmm. It makes us feel so much superior.
Yeah. Well, and that's not the case it is with Tim Tebow. He's, I think, a great testimony for the faith. You can see that in his honor for his mother, his honor for life. And, again, we want to commend Tim for what he's been doing. And I think he's done some things for homeschooling as well. Throw that in there. You know, just the fact that you've got a young man that was homeschooled, it seems like he turned out okay, pretty much a balanced guy. He's fairly successful in what he's put his hand to do. And he gives God the glory to boot. I think these are all good things about Tim. But, again, sports is really important to empires. Sports was not important from the time of the fall of the Roman Empire till about 1900. Think about that. The Olympics weren't happening for about 1,800 years. Sports was a minor issue in the breakdown of our systems, our empires. It was during the period of AD 400 to AD 1400, 1500 where the kingdom of God was established in Europe. I mean, this is what happens, folks. The kingdom of God does not rely on large centralized systems, empires. The kingdom of God actually doesn't gain a lot of traction by putting billboards up on the Tower of Babel. Europe was evangelized before we saw all this centralization in the modern world. Hawaii actually was evangelized well before America came in and added it to its empire in the early part of the 1900s. It's the empires that destroy Christianity. It's the empires that destroy the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God does not rely on empires. It seems to grow despite empires. We see that in the Old Testament with the nation of Israel. It grew despite the fact that you had Egypt and Persia and Greece and so forth. The kingdom of God grows in spite of empires. And sports is not all that important. At least that's according to the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 4:8. Bodily exercise, gymnazo, is the word. It's the word for gymnasium. Sports profits little, but godliness is profitable to all things, having promise of the life that it now is and of that which is to come. So sports, not all that important. It's made out to be really, really important in big empires, and of course it finds its way into all of our newspapers and all of our newscasts because sports is everything to the empire. But not all that important if the kingdom of God is gaining momentum anywhere on planet Earth. Well, all that said, Dave, are you going to watch the Super Bowl this Sunday? What's your call on that one?
No.
You going to miss it? Well, you got to do a TiVo thing. You got to get the TiVo thing going where you're going to... No,
not
this year.
I'm not going to catch the commercials. I may catch the commercials a week or two later on YouTube or something. But no. We're probably going to spend that day in worship and hospitality with the people of God. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. We kind of like the people of God.
Yeah. Priorities just slightly different.
Yeah. We might sing some psalms, mm-hmm. maybe some songs and spiritual songs, just to mix it up a little.
Go for a walk, have a little gumnazo in the afternoon.
Oh, I don't know. It's awfully cold in February at my place.
All right. Well, that's probably what we're doing as well. Yeah, I like sports. I like a little bit of sports, but we don't watch very much of it, and we try to get as much exercise as we can. But, ladies and gentlemen, talking about the real priorities of the kingdom of God, hopefully you are establishing your life according to the priorities of God's word and God's kingdom. And one of those priorities is godliness is profitable to all things. But bodily exercise, gymnasio, sports, certainly profits very, very little in the long run. And when it comes down to it, occasionally you do have somebody who is very accomplished in something that profits little. And that's Tim Tebow. And you might have somebody who does very well with dominoes. Let's say you have a Christian who happens to be the number one best domino player in the world. Or tiddlywinks. He does very, very well in tiddlywinks. He is the best tiddlywinker in the whole wide world. You got to give him a little combination for that, but it profits little. Tiddlywinks profits little, and so does football. That's hard to take for a lot of American sports fans, I know, but that's the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, bringing a biblical worldview, a biblical perspective to the real things of life on today's Generations Radio broadcast. I hope this has been beneficial to you as you try to establish your Christian family on the priorities and the values of the Word of God. You can interact with the radio program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. And by the way, you can catch it anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.